How to Never Be Broke Again, a work of pragmatic capitalist philosophy by Dasein the Philosopher. Dedication. This book is dedicated to my parents, Ramon and Olympia Hilario, for always supporting me, my passions, and our family back home in the Philippines. Question everything and everyone. Dasein the Philosopher. This publication is designed to provide competent and reliable information regarding the subject matter covered. However, it is provided with the understanding that the author and publisher are not engaged in rendering legal, financial, or other professional advice. Laws and practices often vary from state to state and country to country, and if legal or other expert assistance is required, the services of a professional should be sought. The author and publisher specifically disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use or application of the contents of this book. Foreword. In our capitalist society, I found it necessary to learn how money worked. No one taught me about finances when I was younger, and I had to struggle for 5 years to figure this all out through extensive reading and meeting of mentors. What I'm offering to you in between these pages is a compilation of all the lessons that have helped me become better with money. All you have to do is read the theoretical sections and get the experience through each call to action. I wish you nothing but success in your journey towards financial security and later on towards absolute financial freedom. Dasein the Philosopher. Introduction. No one wants to be broke. Unfortunately, we are either conditioned to be broke or we unconsciously choose to live our lives this way. However, we can also condition ourselves and choose to never be broke again, which is exactly what I did when I was 17 and what I want to help you accomplish with the guidance of this book. How to Never Be Broke Again explores 10 steps to begin the path towards financial freedom. It is important to mention that this book is not for someone looking to get rich quick. In fact, this book will only help bring to light a new way of thinking that will hopefully point you towards a life of never struggling with being broke ever again, if you choose to act on what you will learn within these pages. The goal of this book is to reveal a path less traveled and to help inspire you to continue your education in financial literacy, because in our capitalist society, making more money does not necessarily mean that you will know how to keep your money, let alone know how to multiply it. Who this book is for? This book is for anyone who may have low income or even someone with high income. This book is also for someone who has little to no financial education at all, or for someone with advanced financial knowledge looking to review the basics. Finally, this book is for people who know the importance of financial literacy but may not know where to start, or for the folks that just want simple systems and practical philosophies in order to never have to worry about being broke ever again. How to read this book. I highly suggest that you read this book with a pen and paper on hand and take notes on nuggets of knowledge that you think will benefit your financial health. This book is a work of practical philosophy, meaning that you will be exposed to different ways of thinking that you may have a hard time understanding at first, but these new pieces of knowledge are also meant to be used right away. With a new way of thinking comes a new way of doing. Each chapter will go through one of the 10 ways that I've personally used to never be broke again. Each chapter includes a call to action, a section where you'll be given a task to do that is meant to teach you how to become more financially literate. It is imperative that you complete each call to action, as they are all created to help solidify a key concept found in each chapter. What has worked for me may not necessarily work for you, but if you're committed to making sure that you get your finances handled, at least at a beginner's level, then it is worth trying. The key word here is trying. You must not only think about what has worked, but it is through learning by doing what has worked that you can get the results you want. Again, I cannot stress enough that after each chapter's theoretical section, a call to action will be given to you that you can do right away in order to begin your path towards never being broke again. This last part of each chapter is very important to do because you can have all the knowledge and theory in the world, but without taking action and getting real life experience, you will not move forward financially or in any skill in general. Now, let's get the lesson started. Chapter 1. Broke is a mindset. Don't ever have that mindset. A mindset of abundance will do wonders for your bank account. There is too much money moving around the world. Find the opportunities and the right people, and you too can have a piece of the cash flow. This means that you can learn how to never be broke again. It is a skill like any other skill. That being said, the best way to build a mindset is to live experiences. In 2015, I invested all my money except $30 and told myself, if I don't find a way to make more money this week, I will not be able to eat during the weekend. In 2016, I went down to Montreal without a dollar for a place to stay or a way to get back home, which was about an hour and a half drive from my city in Trois-Rivières, and I gave myself 48 hours to enjoy Montreal while also figuring out a way to get back home before teaching class on Monday. These experiments were inspired by Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla Motors, where he talks about living off $30 a week and having to focus his energy towards finding ways to make more income in order to pay for rent and groceries. Once your back is against the wall and being broke is no longer an option, you will do anything to find a way. This also trains you how to handle being broke and use it as leverage to take action. This book will be filled with paradoxes, the first one being the following. In order to learn how to never be broke ever again, you must put yourself in a position of being more broke than you have ever been before. The easiest way to get the mindset of never being broke is to confidently know that even if you go broke, you have the skills and creativity to get yourself out of that position quickly and stay out of this position. Once you can confidently go broke and still feel secure, you will start to feel as if you have more than enough. Being grateful for all that you have when you have nothing is an amazing feeling. And trust me, if you live in a Western world like I do, we have a lot to be grateful for. This feeling is what I call abundance. In my first book, Dasein's Journal, A Collection of Philosophical Thought, I dove deep into the idea of abundance. I have included the 17th chapter of my first book within this one. Our first call to action. For your first call to action, read Life of Abundance and Paradigms of Having, Doing, and Being in the beginning of this book from Dasein's Journal, A Collection of Philosophical Thought. This will kickstart the questioning process necessary to adopting a mindset of abundance. Also, start paying attention to your thoughts. Anytime you catch yourself saying, I am broke, quickly reframe your thoughts and tell yourself, I'm not broke. There is money and opportunities everywhere. I just need to find where they are. Whenever you tell yourself, I can't afford that, reframe that thought by asking yourself, how can I afford that? By paying closer attention to your self-sabotaging thoughts, you will be taking the first step towards a mindset of abundance. This type of inner work can also be applied to other aspects of your life outside of finances. Be creative. You'll be surprised what you can accomplish once you genuinely believe in yourself and start asking yourself the right questions. Life of Abundance and the Paradigms of Having, Doing, and Being. A life of abundance is a life of openness where one has everything one has ever dreamed of and more. This life of utmost freedom is contrasted with a life of scarcity, where one is always reaching for more, or worse, trying to run away from their current position lacking. The question one must ask oneself is the following: do I want an abundant life, or am I already satisfied with how my life is at this very moment? One may decide to become abundant and reach the goal of an abundant life, yet the motivation behind seeking an abundant life can affect the path towards this goal. One may seek abundance because he's in scarcity, meaning not having enough or not being where one wants to be. This is a good motivation to go from a lower place of existence towards a higher place that is effectively a place of abundance. However, one can also come from a place where she realizes that she is already in a place where a life of abundance is exactly what they deserve. Depending on one's motivation, the road towards being abundant may be easier or harder. The paradox with both motivations towards a life of abundance is that abundance, at first glance, deals with what we have, yet once a life of abundance has been attained, one will realize that they do not have abundance, but they are abundant and always have been abundant. The paradox of abundance is, therefore, a paradox of having and being. One can have everything one may think that they need in life, yet still be in scarcity due to not coming from a place of being abundant. Whereas one can have little to nothing, yet still be abundant by authentically existing in a place of having more than enough. In general terms, once the being has been handled, the having paradigm and even the doing paradigm become part of who you are. To quickly discuss the paradigms of having, doing, and being, we will look at each paradigm separately and then look at how they relate to each other. First of all, the paradigm of having is where one identifies with what he has. This can include, but is not limited to, material objects, money, relationships and friendships, success, etc. The issue with this lower paradigm is that the promise that life is constantly changing, any drastic change to what one has can lead towards one losing their sense of self, since this identity is grounded within what one has and not within whom one is. The next paradigm upwards from having is the paradigm of doing. Paradigm of doing is also the paradigm of responsibility. Within this paradigm, one accepts the idea that they are fully responsible for their present situation, and thus they identify with all that they have done, all that they are currently doing, and all that they will continue to do to reach a life of abundance. This paradigm is slightly higher than that of having, since one acknowledges that it is not what they have that is important, but that which they have consciously or unconsciously done up until this point, and that which they will continue to do. Evidently enough, by doing, the having rises or declines with the effectiveness of the one living in the doing paradigm. The issue with the doing paradigm is that one may not know when enough has been done in order to reach a life of abundance. Thus, it is common for one to be stuck in a constant life of doing and never realizing all the good that has been accomplished and that they have already reached a life of abundance. Finally, the final paradigm towards abundance is that of being. By being someone who already has all that they want and need, while also being someone who does exactly what needs to be done, all the lower paradigms handle themselves. It seems easy to simply be or become someone who has the other paradigms handled, yet this paradigm of being to be reached requires attentive introspection to answer the question of one's own being. Who am I, and who do I want to become in this lifetime? Having a clear vision of one's being, paradoxically enough, is the hardest yet easiest path towards a life of abundance. The paradigm of being does not mean that one does not have anything or does not have to do anything. It is in fact the opposite. The paradigm of being requires not only abundance but also authenticity and freedom, which we'll cover later on. Because to be honest, it is your job to figure out what abundance, authenticity, and freedom mean to you if you truly seek to live in the paradigm of being. In conclusion, identifying which paradigm you firstly and most often stay within is the first issue that must be handled in order to avoid certain vicious cycles that may hinder the attainment of an abundant life. One should even ask themselves if an abundant life is something that they want, since the road towards having everything you've ever dreamed of is not an easy path and therefore is not for everyone. In fact, I've been advised by an old mentor to pay attention during the ages of 25 to 30, as this is commonly enough where people give up on their dreams, consciously or unconsciously, of becoming the best version of themselves and instead accept a life of mediocrity. Ask yourself, is my life where I want it to be? And if not, am I willing to be flexible and change who I am to live a good life, a life of abundance? From Dasein's Journal, a collection of philosophical thought. Chapter 2. Always pay yourself first. Make sure you work for yourself or your family. What usually tends to happen is that our employer will pay us, then we use that money to pay other companies through bills or other expenses, and then we can save the rest, which usually is not much. In order to never be broke again, you must pay yourself first in the purchasing of assets before paying any other entity. Assets include stocks and paper assets, real estate properties that make monthly income, commodities like gold, silver, and oil, or building your own side business. The long-term goal is to have these assets pay for your monthly expenses so that you can keep more of the income that you make. But what if I pay myself first and I don't have enough to pay for my bills and other expenses? Well, that's when you have to get creative and figure out a way to pay for those expenses, or maybe find a way to spend less on expenses. Robert Kiyosaki has a wonderful saying in his book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, a book that I highly recommend, where he mentions that when put in a position where we must or we want to pay for something, we must avoid saying that we cannot afford it. Remember rule one, broke is a mindset. We must instead ask ourselves, how can I afford it? Robert says that if you do not find a way to solve this problem, money will always remain a problem. What I want for you is to graduate towards better problems. I would rather have you struggle with having too much money than not having enough. And yes, having too much money is a problem. One of the issues with having too much money and paying yourself too much is that the government will want their cut. Later on, we will look at some legal ways to keep the government out of your pockets. The habit of paying yourself first will not be easy to establish at first. You've been conditioned to spend and pay big corporations first. Think about it. How many advertisements do you see a day that are simply telling you to buy this or buy that? However, once you do start paying yourself first, you'll begin to keep more of what you make. Now the question remains, where do you put this money that you are now paying yourself on a regular basis? Call to action. So in this chapter's call to action, you need to sit down and start tracking your income. Find out how much you make daily, weekly, and monthly. Once you know how much you make, determine what percentage you are comfortable with paying your future self. It can be 10, 20, 30, or even 80% of your income. It really depends on your situation. Once you have this percentage that you are committed to paying yourself, make it a habit to put this percentage away every time you get paid. In fact, you can even set up an appointment with your financial institution to automatically deduct this percentage from each paycheck or each time money goes into your account. Chapter 3. Don't work for money, have your money work for you. Money is like an employee that's really good at hiring more employees. Now that you have been paying yourself first and have money on the side put away for your future, you need to figure out where to put that money so that it'll work for you. See, most people think of money as a means to buy things, but in reality, to get the most out of your money, you want to look at it as your own employee. Except these employees don't only work 8 to 14 hours a day, they work 24 hours a day. Essentially, the money that you make is going to be placed into a vehicle that will make you more money. This is called an investment in an income-producing asset. We live in a capitalist society, and since money can be used as our own employees, this means that the more employees we have working for us, the more income we will be making. This kind of sucks if you're just starting the journey of learning financial literacy, but with patience, soon enough, you'll have enough dollars working for you that you may just make more than you make at your own day job. That is a goal, my friends. That is what I want for you and your families. Imagine having your money working just as hard as you are, if not harder. But wait, if I'm no longer working for money, then why would I show up to that job that I may or may not be too fond of? Well, first of all, you still need to make money in order to have money, which will then be put to work for you. Second of all, ideally, you should only be picking jobs that you love. I know, this may not be the case for everyone since some of us will just have to take a job to pay the bills. This is why I said ideally. Finding meaningful work that you love will make the journey towards never being broke a little easier.
Finally, and most importantly, you should be working to learn instead of working to earn. In any job, whether it be as a burger flipper or as a manager at a high-end retail store, there are always lessons to be learned during each working day. For example, I'm a teacher, but before this, I worked in a well-known chocolate store in my city. Even if selling chocolate did not directly teach me how to teach others, I did get to interact with people on a daily basis, which I would have to be doing as a teacher anyway. I also learned how to manage people and a team, which definitely came in handy once I was working with a team of educators and leading school programs and projects. My challenge for you is to find at least one aspect in your current job that can be transferred towards your dream job or dream business. Long story short, in order to never be broke again, you must paradoxically work to learn instead of working to earn, and then use the money that you have earned to work for you as if you recruited it to be part of your employee team. So in this chapter, we have two call to actions. So the first one, start researching income producing assets and determine which ones you can add to your own assets right away. When I started this journey, I started with dividend paying stocks. In general terms, these are companies that will pay you a little bit of money for simply investing in them. If you're interested in starting this type of income producing asset, I would suggest that you go to your bank and set up an appointment to open a discount brokerage account. Once open, you should use all or some of the percentage that you have been committed to paying yourself to buy dividend paying stocks. Note, this book is for beginners in financial education. There are tons of books on how to get your money to work for you. Therefore, I highly suggest that you do your own research and find the best assets for your own needs and goals. For a second call to action, make a list of aspects in your current job that can be transferred towards your dream job or dream business that you want to start. This will help you with the mindset of working to learn instead of working to earn. Chapter 4, create multiple sources of income, aka side hustles. The hustle starts after work. Now, we get to the fun stuff. If you never want to be broke again, you can't have all your eggs in one basket. In other words, you can't only have one source of income. I'm not telling you that you have to work multiple jobs, even though technically that would work and that is another source of income. However, that is not the most efficient way of making income, since this is what we call earned income or employee income, which is limited to a 24-hour day, and it is probably not the best idea to work 24 hours a day, since I think humans need sleep every now and then, or so I've heard. Anyways, you want to create other sources of an income of different types when possible. We will quickly look at a few possible income streams that you can set up and how you can do so in very general terms. Here we go. Profit income. Profit income from buying and selling things. You can have a garage sale or buy and sell stuff on Amazon. If you have it and someone out there wants it, find them and then sell it to them. Next, we have interest income. Income from lending money. There are websites where different businesses will look for lenders. When you have extra money around that you won't need right away, lending it towards a trusted individual or business could give you a decent return on investment, or ROI. Third, dividend income. Income from owning dividend-paying stocks. You can invest in a publicly traded company, which will kick you back a check once a month, once a quarter, or once a year. You can literally have your favorite company pay you for having a piece of their corporate entity. Another one is rental income. Income from renting property. You own property, you rent it out, the person using that space pays you or helps pay off your mortgage. Next, capital gains income. Income from assets increasing in value. You buy some gold, silver, oil, or maybe even a beautiful piece of art. You wait a few years, and maybe your investment is worth more today than it was when you first bought it. Another is royalty income, income from ideas. The only way I know of creating this is by creating content and having people pay for it, or have a system that pays you for creating that content. Think of royalties paid for writing a book or program and selling it. It is possible to get paid to create a program that teaches a skill, or even by having a YouTube channel. As you can see, there are many other ways to create income other than earned employee income. You may not need to have all 7 income types, but having a few extra ones in your nest will alleviate some risk in your financial journey. Remember, I want you to never be broke ever again. So even if someone decides to turn off one of your income streams, you can still have a few more working for you. So in this chapter's call to action, review the 7 sources of income and write down all ideas on how you can start these sources of income. After doing your research, take massive action by starting at least 1 new income source a month. You can even do this weekly if you're really committed. Even if your new income idea fails, you will learn more by doing than by simply theorizing and not taking action. Remember, in the money game, the faster you move, the faster you make mistakes, and the faster you can make mistakes, the faster you will learn. Always be learning. One more thing I will add to this is to start with an income source that is directly related to something that you're passionate about. By finding a way to monetize your passion, you will not only have a much better rate of success in building an income source around this passion, because you already love it. And life is good when you get paid to do what you would enjoy doing for free anyway. Chapter 5, give before you receive. The best way to make more is to help more. Here we will get a little less strategic and a little more philosophical. One of the secrets to never being broke again is to give to others, even if you may not be exactly where you want to be financially. Anytime I find myself not making enough sales or not creating successful income streams, I ask myself, when was the last time I gave free value to someone with no expectation of a reward for doing so? By giving to others, you do not only create space for you to receive later on, but you will also reinforce a mindset of abundance. You should be thinking that you have so much abundance in life that your cup overflows onto others that need more help. The more you give, the more you receive. The opposite can also be said, that the more you hold on to your money or material things, the less you will receive. This kind of mentality breeds scarcity, a mindset where you only have enough for yourself. You do not want to be in scarcity. You want to feel as if you have more than enough. That way, you'll be given more than you need. This goes back to rule 3, where I want you to not work to earn. In the grand scheme of things, money is not that important once you have it solved as a problem. Income is not that important, but it is the impact that you can make in the world with your money that is more important than the money itself. Think about it. A lot of the wealthiest people on this planet also have the capacity to donate the most. Why not give back now? Whether you're wealthy now or not, soon enough you will be if you just keep giving value to the world. The key here is that value is not necessarily just a monetary concept. That being said, there are tax benefits to donations, and you can literally make money off of donating to your favorite charity. So in this chapter's call to action, start giving at least once a week. This can be done in the form of offering money to a charity, to a random homeless people, or to even people that you know by paying for their meal or movie. If you don't have money, you can also give your time, which in my opinion is worth way more than money. By volunteering or helping someone else with their own goals, not only will you feel good when you give, but it will also solidify that you are in abundance. You have so much already that it's no big deal to help others out. Chapter 6, Know Your Tax Law. It is your right to learn the rules of the tax game. Studying tax will by far be one of the best investments you can make. By learning the rule of taxes, you will begin to look at your income in a different perspective. Once you start thinking net profit instead of net income, you'll find the legal ways to increase your tax return. As an employee, the best tax laws you can start learning here in Canada will be regarding your RRSP contribution room, spousal RRSPs, and your own tax bracket. Did you know that if you contribute your RRSP limit, you're proactively moving towards a better tax return? Also, if you have a higher income than your husband or wife and you contribute to your spouse's RRSP, you can decrease the taxes that he or she would have had to pay at the end of the fiscal year and possibly increase his or her tax return. Another rule that may seem a little morbid is that once you or your spouse passes away, the deceased can contribute to the living partner's RRSP, thus making it a spousal RRSP contribution until March 1st of the following year. This after-death rule, combined with proper insurance, can be very beneficial to leaving behind a legacy for one's family after death, if one is aware of these rules and plans accordingly to offer value even after one's time here on Earth. If you own your own business or work independent contracts, which I highly suggest, by the way, if you're currently just an employee, there are an outrageous amount of tax laws that you can take advantage of during tax season. My guide here today will cover but a few of my favorites, as my goal here is to not fully educate you in tax law, but I'm more so here to offer you a glimpse into the wonders and benefits of learning and knowing your tax law. First of all, as a business or independent contractor, you pay taxes at the end of the year and not after each paycheck. Also, you will pay taxes on profit and not income. Profit in general terms is income minus expenses. In fact, expenses may just be your favorite part of having a business. Once you learn your tax law, you'll see that many of your expenses can become business expenses, which reduce your profit at the end of the year and thus can reduce your taxes and may even give you a better tax return. It is very important that you do your proper research and due diligence when playing around with business tax law, since there are many benefits to learning these laws, but you can get yourself in some trouble if you do not follow the laws accordingly. Legally, here in Canada, you can write off up to 50% of your business income using business meal expenses. And as a millennial myself, I know how much us millennials all love to eat out. To make a business meal completely legal, you must discuss business over food, which means that if you and your partner or spouse both have a business, it is very likely that business will come up in conversation over your meal. There are also business tax write-offs opportunities specific to your industry, so make sure that you do your own research. It will be very beneficial to understand what you can write off as a business expense, how much you can write off, and you should always keep your receipts while having records of what your expense was, when it was made, and why the expense was made. In conclusion, knowing your tax law will not only save you money in the long run, but it will help give you a better tax return at the end of the fiscal year. Not to mention that by doing your own research and having a general idea of how taxes work, you can make sure that the tax professionals that you work with are actually doing a proper job. There are many tax laws out there, so I cannot stress enough for you to do your research and learn about them. For now, you can focus on getting those independent contracts, going on business dinner dates, keeping receipts, especially gas, while tracking your gas mileage during business-related trips, and max out those RRSPs. Not that you'll really need an RRSP once you get your money right. It's just nice to take advantage of the tax return benefits of hitting your RRSP limits each year. So for this chapter's call to action, start studying your tax law in your city or country today. You should find out how much you pay in taxes with each paycheck if you work a job. If you have a business, find out all your taxable expenses that you're eligible for. Even if it may not be tax season, a few hours a month of research towards tax law will pay you more in the fact that you'll keep more money at the end of the fiscal year. More money kept means more money for you to set up a foundation to never being broke again. Chapter 7, knowledge is power, but only if you take action. Theory is useless without experience and execution. Now that you have learned quite a few things that'll help you never be broke again, you must not forget that none of these lessons will help if you do not act on them. Great, you know a few tax laws, but will you take advantage of them during tax season? You now know the importance of paying yourself first, but when your next paycheck comes in, are you paying yourself first, or will you continue to pay bills and buy liabilities before adding to your own net worth? Learning without doing will never lead to earning. Next, with this rule that knowledge is power, but only if you take action, you must essentially become an eternal student. The moment you stop learning, especially in our constantly changing world, will be the moment you become obsolete. You should seek out and learn about different businesses and ways of making money. Maybe this will mean signing up for different seminars and even classes, but you must also fulfill your continual education, meaning not only showing up to these courses, but actually doing the work involved in learning these new skills. Seminars are great because you will learn new ways of seeing the world, which means learning to see new opportunities. I took a 6-day wealth and insurance seminar in fall of 2016, and it only cost me $129. It was extremely difficult to study for the exam since I was also studying to become a teacher at the same time, but it was definitely worth it since I learned more about money in those 6 days than I'd ever in my life. Also, after passing the exam, finishing my training, and becoming a licensed insurance agent, I was bonused more than the amount I had to pay for the class, so essentially I got to take the class for free. With what I learned in those 6 days, I was later able to make a few sales in the insurance industry, helping families out in a legal, ethical, and moral way that also compensated me immensely. On my first license sale, I made over $650 an hour. Now, this industry is not my main business, but it was the beginning of my professional entrepreneurial endeavors, and I'm very grateful to have learned and used the knowledge gained during that seminar. Once I'd made over $650 an hour, that was when I realized that there are ways to make money that are more efficient than the regular 9-to-5 job that we are all conditioned to seek. Maybe I'm being a little biased since I am a teacher, but proper education will by far be the greatest asset you will have during your journey to never being broke again and towards financial freedom. But also, you must use your education, because if not, you will not make any improvements in your current situation. In conclusion, you need to find seminars or books or people that can help teach you about skills, industries, and concepts that you do not understand in order to start seeing how to view the world in different ways. This will hopefully lead to you seeing the vast amounts of opportunities to make money that are right in front of your eyes. You just have never been trained to see them, as most people have never been trained to do so. So here we have two calls to action. The first call to action is to review the previous chapters and the respective calls to action. Make sure that you have not skipped any of these missions, and if you have, redo them. In fact, even if you haven't missed a single call to action, you're awesome, by the way. Give yourself a pat on the back and tell yourself you're awesome for taking massive action, because you are. Why not redo these missions, as they are offering you real life experience? Second call to action is to find seminars, books, or people that you can learn from about skills, industries, and concepts that you do not understand, so you can start learning how to see the world in different ways. These seminars, books, and mentors can drastically speed up your results in your own financial journey, since people have crammed what has taken them years of experiences into either a program or a story that you can experience in much less time. I would suggest taking at least one seminar, reading at least one book, or meeting at least one person who has done what you want to accomplish per month. If you can find yourself a mentor, that will also greatly improve your chances of success, assuming your mentor is competent and has gotten success in their own field. Chapter 8, move towards a net worth paradigm. Keep more money that will work for you. The next change you'll have to make in order to never be broke again may just be the hardest in this entire book, because it involves changing your paradigm. A paradigm is the way that an individual or a society views the world. In other words, you'll have to change how you see the world, or in this case, how you view money. Today, when it comes to how money works, most people are conditioned into having an income paradigm where they're trying to make more money. However, this rarely works, since once you start making more money, you aren't necessarily educated in how to handle all that extra income, therefore either spend more or plain and simply make bad financial decisions. Just look at most folks that win the lottery. They are given a huge chunk of money with no proper guidance on how to use it, and instead of improving their financial situation, they will spend this amount so fast that it may even lead to them becoming worse off than before they won the prize. Making more money can help you never be broke again, but it is not the most efficient way. The single best way to never be broke again is to constantly be increasing your net worth. This new paradigm means that each month you're adding more to your assets, thus increasing the amount of money you have working for you, which in return will feed back to itself. creating a system where your net worth adds to itself each month is necessary in the capitalist cave that we have been born into if you want to never be broke again. Furthermore, if you want more than just avoidance of being broke, to be more than just financially secure, and instead to be completely financially independent, then a business must necessarily work for you alongside with your net worth, as both can provide passive income that will always be increasing your net worth. If you really want to never be broke again and get your money right, you need to understand and then forget about this income paradigm, for a while anyway, and move towards a net worth paradigm. The paradox here is that a business will make you more money, but it will also teach you how to keep more and add to your net worth. You need to learn to keep more money first before making more money will make an impact to your financial health. The net worth paradigm means that instead of trying to make more money, you should focus on keeping more money and then having it work for you. Another problem with the income paradigm and believing that you will be able to save and invest more when you make more money is a simple fact that you can start to save and invest more right now, regardless of how much your income may be at this very moment. While the net worth paradigm, instead of focusing on increasing your income, you are moving your focus towards increasing your net worth, which is the total amount of cash and assets you own minus all your debts. Having a net worth view of money actually makes being broke a lot harder, since normally when you say you're broke, you're essentially saying you don't have any money. But with this new paradigm that you have adopted, being broke means that you have a net worth of $0. Unfortunately, it may be a little saddening that with this new paradigm, having more debt than assets or cash means that you're worse off than broke. Having debt in this case means that you must work and make money in order to get back to being broke. But what is a net worth paradigm? What is an income paradigm? In short, the net worth paradigm is the view that financially, your goal is to keep increasingly more money each month, therefore increasing your assets each month. The income paradigm, on the other hand, is making increasingly more money each month. So our first call to action here is to calculate your net worth. You can do this by adding all your cash and assets that you own and taking away all your liabilities, debts from this total. Now that you have your net worth, you should then focus on increasing this number each month. Remember, the more income producing assets you own, the less you'll have to work for you to increase your net worth each and every month. Chapter 9, make more than you spend and increase your income. Pay the price now so you can pay any price tomorrow. By focusing on spending less than you earn and by growing your income each month, you will ensure that you are always having extra cash on hand to invest back into yourself, whether that be through investing in your business, your skills, or in your assets. Making more than you spend is simple. If you make $100 today, don't spend more than $100 today. If you make a dollar every minute, don't spend more than a dollar every minute. If your annual income is $109,000 a year, you should not spend more than $109,000 a year. Once you have ways of making more than you need to spend on a daily basis, you should already be increasing your net worth. It is important to mention that as you advance through your financial education, it will become apparent that you can increase your net worth at a much faster rate if you are also increasing your income. By focusing on how you can increase your income monthly, you're essentially focusing on how you can pay yourself more each month as well. By moving toward the net worth and the income paradigm, and then moving between the two, you will reap the benefits of both paradigms and what they have to offer. The reason I suggest taking a net worth point of view firstly and most often is because by increasing your net worth, you're essentially creating a foundation to never be broke again, regardless of if you increase your income right away. On the other hand, if you take on the income paradigm, thus increasing your income each month, this alone will not necessarily move you closer to being financially secure, let alone financially independent. So again, we have two calls to action in this chapter. The first one is a 30-day increase your income challenge. For the next 30 days, see if you can increase your income each day. For example, if you made $30 at work on January 1st, on January 2nd, you're now trying to make a little bit more. Get creative and review the previous chapters to find inspiration on how you can make a few extra dollars each day. Call to action number two. After doing the increase the income challenge for 30 days, try and increase your income monthly. Chapter 10, know your financial independence number. Either you don't have enough money or you have too much. Your financial independence number is the amount of net worth you need to give yourself to have 15 years of annual income if everything in your net worth is cash, or the amount of investments you need to have in order to produce enough passive income to replace your earned income for the rest of your life. Most people have probably never heard of a financial independence number, let alone calculated it. Unfortunately, if you fail to plan, you essentially plan to fail. In other words, by not knowing how much net worth or money you need in order to get paid what you get paid now, by simply staring at a wall, I mean, if that's what you wanted, then you would essentially be moving through the financial road without an end destination. Once you know your financial independence number, you will have an end goal to work towards. When I was younger, I was told that my number one job was to work myself out of a job so that I would no longer need to work, but I would get to do the work that I wanted to do. Once you become financially independent, you no longer have to work, but you now have the freedom of choice and of time to do whatever you want, since your assets work for you and provide you with the income that you want. Technically, in order to never be broke again, you would only need to know your financial security number, which is the amount of net worth you would need to have your investments passively pay for your expenses each month forever. However, knowing your financial independence number is the last part of never being broke again, because you want to shoot higher than your original goal. In other words, you'll never have to worry about being financially secure once you become financially independent. There are many programs online on how to calculate your financial security number and your financial independence number, and I would suggest you do some research online or even meet up with a financial professional in order to find out your own financial independence number. It is also important to mention that even if this book is titled How to Never Be Broke Again, I want more for you. I want you to become financially independent or even financially free instead of simply financially secure. If you can internalize, habitually follow, and act upon the 10 rules explored in this short book, you will have a better chance at reaching financial security and your financial independence number than if you simply follow the masses and worked a 9-to-5, hoping to be set free from the rat race. Remember, this is not about money. This is about becoming free. Freedom from worrying about how to pay for your bills, freedom from living paycheck to paycheck, and most importantly, freedom from the rat race and the chains of the capitalist cave that we have been born into. Thank you so much for reading this book, and I hope that it has shed some light into financial literacy for you. I also hope that you will share some, if not all, that you have learned in this book with your friends and loved ones, as together we can help spread the benefits of financial education. I wish that you will go beyond never being broke again and for you to reach absolute financial freedom, but to do so, I implore you continue to advance your financial education and to never stop learning. I look forward to one day meeting in person and discussing finances, our journeys in life, and how we manage to never be broke again. In this final call to action, find out what your monthly expenses are. This is the amount that you will need to have as passive income, money working for you, even if you decide that you don't want to work, in order to be financially secure. Start researching financial independence number calculators online or contact your financial professional and find out what your financial independence number is. Work towards a net worth equal to this number once you have reached financial security. Conclusion. This book was written after I spent over half a decade studying personal finances, reading anything I could get my hands on that taught me more about finances, and then putting what I learned into action by using it in real life. At 19, I was presented with an opportunity to help people better understand finances by using an educational approach. At the time, I had no idea how to handle my own finances, so how could I ever hope to help other people out in that area of their lives? Luckily, I was still a young philosopher, and I was in a mental space where I was constantly questioning my own beliefs. To be more specific, I was obsessed with finding and understanding my limiting beliefs. You see, a limiting belief is any idea in your head that when you want to experience something, usually new and outside your comfort zone, your mind immediately says you can't do that, thus limiting you from reaching a space of growth and new experiences. Through discomfort, the philosopher Nietzsche taught me that we have growth. I began questioning everything that I knew about finances and money, going into a phase where my philosophical focus shifted from existentialism, the foundation of my journey as a philosopher, towards capitalism. In 2016 and 2015, I was given the opportunity to teach English in Trois-Rivières, Quebec. Not only were my experiences and the people that I got to know there unforgettable, but I was also able to move out and find out if I could survive on my own. By spending that year living on my own and being responsible for my own skin, I was able to put everything that I'd learned up until now about finances to use. Halfway through my contract with the school division in Trois-Rivières, I was getting one free lunch a month, which is about $10, being paid to me in dividends from one of my favorite Canadian companies. Living on my own provided me with the opportunity to prove to myself that I could not only survive on my own, but that I could thrive on my own and send my parents money monthly since I was making more than I could spend. Upon returning to Winnipeg during the summer of 2016, after my contract in Quebec had ended, I decided to work on my first book full-time, which meant I was not going to work a regular job until I was finished. I spent the whole summer creating this book, then taking a vacation to the Philippines in the middle of summer to then finish my book with inspirations from my vacation to the Eastern world. It was during this time of working for myself and trying to complete my life's work as a philosopher that I was introduced to entrepreneurship. Well, truth is, my first entrepreneurial endeavor was when I did a renovation job when I was younger, painting my old manager's wood trim around her house and garage a few summers ago. I even hired a few of my friends to help me out, paying $2 above minimum wage at the time. I believe all my friends deserve more than just the minimum. But this summer was different. I started Patty's Lawn Care as well as working towards getting a license in the financial industry. I had yet to learn that by becoming an insider in finances, you can take your financial education to the next level. The lawn care business was a complete failure. After less than a month, I had realized that I was only able to pay myself $5 an hour. At least the train towards getting my financial license as a life agent was going great. I was learning so much. It was completely unpaid training, of course, other than some bonuses when I was able to get my training done, but I somehow knew that by offering free work to learn, I was setting myself up to earn while I learned. To sum everything up, it was through taking responsibility of my own financial education and thus increasing my financial literacy that I was able to reach a point in my life where I will never be broke again. I originally wanted to build a few side income sources so that during my final year of my teaching degree, a year where us students were expected to work full-time for free in an unpaid practicum while also completing university projects, I would at least have some cash coming in. What started off as the need to build a side business quickly turned into building over 7 sources of income in less than a year. Not bad, since in the beginning, I was constantly criticized for focusing on business, and many people asked me when I would essentially give up and go back to working a regular job. My goal in this book was to shed some light towards the journey towards financial literacy and for you to take responsibility of your own financial education. This book has left many financial concepts out, and in fact, I wanted to keep this book as a work of philosophy and not a book on finances, even if it did turn out to be on the subject of finances. Since if I can just show one person how they can start learning more about how the money game works, then I would consider that a success. Reading this book is great, but you will learn a lot more by simply putting what you have learned into action. I also urge you to continue learning about finances and increasing your financial literacy. I hope that I've offered you some value, whether that be philosophical education or with financial education, that one day we can both achieve financial independence and then teach our own friends, family, and maybe even kids how to never be broke again. Remember, it is a choice to become financially secure and eventually financially independent. Only you can make that choice. Thanks for listening. It's Dasein the Philosopher. About the author, Dasein, the philosopher, better known as Patrick J. Hilario, is a French immersion teacher, author of Dasein's Journal, A Collection of Philosophical Thought, and a professional real estate investor. Dasein's passion for philosophy and education has led him to building over 7 sources of income in a single year out of necessity. His philosophy is simple: reverse engineer the life that you want and get a head start on the things that need to be done. All right, it's Dasein of Philosophy here, aka Patrick J. Hilario. Thanks so much for listening to this audiobook of How to Never Be Broke Again. I hope that you got some value out of this. And remember, you can also buy a copy of your book, How to Never Be Broke Again, on Amazon. And please do not hesitate to follow this podcast, subscribe, and you can also follow me on Instagram at Patrick J. Hilario. Also have a Twitter, same name, Patrick J. Hilario. And yeah, hopefully I can come out with more financial literacy content. There is a lot of content available through videos and posts on my Instagram, so make sure to check that out. Don't forget, subscribe to this podcast and this audiobook, and hopefully you guys have an awesome day. Patrick J. Hilario here, aka Dasein the Philosopher. You guys are awesome, and keep continuing your journey towards financial literacy.